Luke 18 and 9 through 14. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Last week we looked at the parable of the rich, or not the rich man, the unjust judge and the persistent widow, and learned about persistence in prayer and God's readiness to hear prayer and his desire for us to pray, and the quickness and speed with which he promises he will answer our prayers. Tonight, our attention is turned to the type of prayer that God desires to hear from us, and the attitude of prayer, or the attitude in prayer that we ought to take. But one question that this discussion of prayer raises is the whole question of how does God hear prayer? You ever wondered about that? How does God even hear prayer? And when we pray, how does God know the things that we're asking? I think I've told you the story before about being in first grade and in class, one of the little girls saying that I had big ears. And does God hear our prayers by all prayers all over the world by having big ears? Or maybe he has many pairs of ears so that he can hear all these different people in all these different places praying. Maybe that's how he does it. Well, no, neither of those is true, because the scripture tells us that God is a spirit, and therefore he does not have a body like people have. So he doesn't have a physical body. So when we speak our prayers, God does not hear them through ears in the way that we would hear one another speaking, in the way that we receive auditory messages. Well, how does God hear our prayers? Well, we might think of the possible explanation of, these aren't discussed as much anymore, but back when I was a child and the communists were doing their thing, there was a lot of discussion about bugs and these little listening devices that would be planted all over, and they would be listening, and never in places necessarily where I was. I don't think they were concerned about Triton Elementary School particularly, but that people might be listening through these little bugs. Well, maybe God has little listening devices all over through which he hears. But no, that's not how the Bible tells us that he hears our prayers either. How does God hear our prayers? Well, of course, the scripture tells us that God is omnipresent. He is present everywhere, and also that he is omniscient, that he knows all things. And the fact that he is omniscient is especially important in how he hears our prayers, because many times we pray without speaking the words, don't we? We think our prayers, and many of our most important prayers are prayers that we pray at times when it's not appropriate for us to pray out loud. And we're in a tense situation, and we know that things are not good, and yet, you know, maybe it's in a particular conversation, or and we throw up what are prayers that go, are prayers of our mind. And God hears those prayers through His omniscience, through His knowing all things. Nothing is hidden from God's sight. And if that's true of the sins that we commit, which it is true, it is also true of our prayers that we offer, that they are not hidden ever from God's sight. God hears all of our prayers. And it's important because in prayer, we are not just talking to walls. We're not just talking to one another. Prayer is not about talking to ourselves, like giving ourselves some sort of little pep talk and convincing ourselves that things will get better in this situation. No, in prayer, the very definition of prayer is that we are talking to God. And the way in which we have a conversation with God, the way in which God hears us, is through His omniscience. And so then we ask ourselves, well, how do we have a conversation with God? How can we approach God? Some of you know that I've, just in the last week and a half or so, started reading through a book that I think will take me a little while to read through, but I've started reading through Miss Manners, A Guide to Excruciatingly Correct Behavior. And one of the things that has come up even in the first few chapters of this book is how do I approach other people to talk to them? And this specific letter that she receives it has to do with a man who is riding a bus to work, and there's another man on the bus who he went to college with, and they sat in classes together, but they were never introduced. And so he's wondering, is it okay for me to talk to this man? Now, in the part of the country where I was raised, the criteria for if it's okay for you to talk to this man or not is he breathing? And if he is, then, you know, you're free to go ahead and engage him in conversation. But that's not the way, apparently, that things are done in Miss Manners' society. And it is okay to approach this man on the bus because, and I guess this is the technical rule, a roof is considered an introduction. Not a bus roof, but because you've shared the roof of a school, therefore it's appropriate for you to say to this other man, you know, we were never introduced formally, but I remember you from a class back at our, you know, in our schooling days, and to approach a conversation with him that way. This kind of friendliness or aggression, I guess, as Miss Manners might see it, is allowable. Well, Miss Manners, notwithstanding, we want to approach God correctly. How is it that we approach God? And what Jesus is telling us here is that we approach God in an acceptable way, and we initiate this talking to God of prayer in an acceptable way when we acknowledge that we ourselves are unacceptable. We approach God acceptably by acknowledging that we ourselves are unacceptable. And we're introduced here to two patterns of prayer: the Pharisee and the tax collector. And notice in the first verse there, verse 9, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And having come this far in the book of Luke, we know that part of the target audience for this parable is the Pharisees. So when Jesus begins this parable saying, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector, I think it's quite reasonable to imagine that that sentence was followed with a pregnant pause, in which Jesus gave those present time to identify in their own mind whose prayer was righteous and godly. To pick out the winner, so to speak, in their mind. Oh, I know what's going to happen in this story, Jesus. I know who's going to pray the right way, whose prayer will be acceptable. Surely it will be the godly Pharisee and not the wicked tax collector. And with that basis, then Jesus goes on to describe the prayers of this Pharisee who would clearly have the upper hand in his prayer, and the wicked, lowly tax collector. And the Pharisee prays and commends himself to God, doesn't he? He commends himself to God in two ways. First of all, I am not like da-da-da-da-da. Look at all the people I am better than, God, first of all. Secondly, look at all the extra credit work that I do, God. See that? First of all, let's compare me to my peers. On the bell curve alone, I am at the far right end. Look at all these people I am better than. And not only am I better in those ways, but I go beyond the requirements of the law in my godliness. And let's look at those two ways. Prayer is unacceptable, first of all, when it emphasizes the unrighteousness of others. This Pharisee tries to get ahead in life and in prayer, his prayer life, by comparing himself to others. And he looks down and despises others, as verse 9 tells us, and we see that illustrated then in verse 11. God, I thank you, I am not like other men. I am a cut above these extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even like this lowly tax collector. And so, this is the man in prayer. He's saying, first of all, God, recognize I'm thankful because I am not like the people out there who don't come to pray. And secondly, I am thankful because I am not like the people who are here to pray. Thankfully, I am a cut above. And he looks down on them and despises them. And his approach to God is the approach of saying, God, you should want my fellowship. You, God, should be particularly receptive to my prayers. If you're going to hear anyone's prayers, obviously, the person whose prayers you should listen to and be receptive to are my prayers. Because I am much closer to you in righteousness and in terms of not being stained by sin than all of these other people. Now, what's the problem with this approach? The problem with this approach is, of course, that any sin is repugnant to God. Any sin cuts us off from fellowship with God. And this prayer, this approach to God, ignores the holiness of God and assumes that because I'm a little more holy than these other people. Now, in the mind of this Pharisee, he wasn't a little more holy. He was a lot more holy. But it's as if he's dropped a piece of paper on the floor and said, because I stand at a higher level now than everyone else, therefore I'm closer to you, God. That's his mindset of his whole... his mindset is that stepping up on this paper is a big step of righteousness, right? I am much closer in elevation to heaven than any of my peers, God. But when God looks at this Pharisee's righteousness, he's not impressed by this higher level of holiness, and he sees it, in fact, as no higher level of holiness at all. And we can do this as well, of course. Jesus wouldn't tell us about this if this didn't influence and endanger our prayers and our prayer life. Anytime that our prayer life and our view of God and our expectation in prayer is based on the fact that God is more likely to answer my prayers than your prayers because of my level of sin being less than your level of sin. Anytime that's our view, or anytime we take the view that, God, I see that you've blessed this person in this way, and so therefore I know that if you can bless that kind of a wretched sinner in this way, of course you must have greater blessings for me, and that's why I'm coming to you in prayer. Anytime that we come on the basis of our own righteousness, our own standing being better than those around us, we have missed the point, and our prayers are unacceptable. Tied in with that, and these two things are really very well, very much connected. It's hard to, the person who looks down at his peers is also the person who elevates himself in self-righteousness. So these are two verses, 11 and 12, are peas in a pod, of course. Unacceptable prayers not only emphasize the unworthiness of others, they also, unacceptable prayers also elevate and emphasize our own personal righteousness. Verse 12, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And he's basically arguing or pleading with God his works of super righteousness. Where in the Old Testament are we commanded to fast twice a week? Nowhere. Nowhere. And he's saying, look, God, I not only do the Ten Commandments, but I go above and beyond in executing things that would be pleasing in your sight. And really what the Pharisee is doing here is selling himself to God, making a case for himself and how desirable he is to God. And once again, now recognize that we have here once again in the prayer, in the scripture, an example of some hyperbole, don't we? I don't think anybody ever really prays this way. But we do think this way. We do think about our prayers this way. That my prayers should be more on the fast track. My prayers should go in the priority box in heaven, if you will, over other people's because of who I am and how righteous I am. And even if we don't say it in our prayers, but think it, if this is our mindset in prayer, we're back to God's omniscience and the fact that He knows and knows exactly what we're thinking, what exactly our mindset is in prayer. And both of these approaches are all wrong, and they're wrong because both of them are based on my standing relative to humans. And beyond that, my perception of my standing relative to other humans. It's not based on God's perception of my standing relative to other humans. And it's not based on my standing relative to God. And the problem with this approach is we're not trying to get in good with other humans when we talk to God. We're not trying to have a conversation and commend ourselves to another person when we're talking to God. We are praying, we are approaching the divine. And so, just as some of the rules that Miss Manners has don't really apply to my everyday life, because I'm not dealing with people at these high levels who are going to be upset with me if I don't call them the Earl of Shrewsbury or whatever, or would be so bold as to introduce myself, you know, to Lord thus and so. Well, our approach to God is not like our approach to people. We are approaching the divine, and it's not about selling ourselves. It's not about this attitude that the Pharisee is taking of, God, I'm extending to you the privilege of hearing from me. Aren't you so thankful, God, that someone as worthy as me, aren't you glad, God, that as swell of a fellow as me would come and talk to you? No, that's not the way it works with God at all. And the approach of this Pharisee is like someone on the FBI's 10 most wanted list, showing up in court and saying, well, I'd like you to know, first of all, I'm here today seeking justice, and I'm here today because I know of a man who has committed 8 murders. And I've only, you know, yes, I recognize I'm wanted for 5 murders. I've only committed 8 murders. And furthermore, Judge, I want you to know that I always put a quarter in the parking meter. And I follow the speed limit. And I stop even when the light is yellow. And so therefore, I am a good citizen. See how I've distinguished myself as a citizen, Your Honor. And that's what the Pharisee's prayer is like. Someone on the 10 most wanted list saying, see how I'm a distinguished citizen because there are people who are worse than me. And that is an unacceptable approach to God. Instead, God calls us to pray humbly in order to be heard. And we're reminded again of God's omniscience. It's really foolish, isn't it, brothers and sisters, to approach God in a pretentious way. Because God knows who you really are. It's foolish to approach God on the basis of your righteousness. Because God knows how far short of His standard of righteousness that you and I fall. And this is why this example of the tax collector is so good. He stands afar off, first of all. He recognizes, even in his standing before God, he recognizes his own unworthiness. I'm not worthy to be up in the front. And recognize that when you come to the temple to pray, right, there is actually there are good seats, right? Because there's the Holy of Holies. There's the place where God dwells. There's the room with the mercy seat and all of that. And so there are good seats. There is a relative closeness that can be achieved by pushing forward. This man stands afar off. And there's a recognition right there that I don't deserve the front row seats or stand the front row or the front area. And he would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. He understands his humble position before the Lord, but beat his breast. He's sad. He's mourning. His sin tears him up. He's grieved over it and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he, instead of the Pharisee, commends himself to God and says, God, you're privileged to have me. I thank you that I can be like this and that you have the privilege of hearing my prayers. I told you a couple weeks ago in a I think it was a morning sermon about the people who I met who, at the end of the evening, the man jokingly said, "Well, I'm really glad you've had this chance to meet us tonight." Well, that's the attitude of the Pharisee. The tax collector, on the other hand, is saying, "I acknowledge I'm a sinner. God, I need your mercy. I'm here praying because I am needy." And his first request of God is what? The priority requests that we all have. I need mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God doesn't want us approaching Him in prayer pretending, because the basis for our talking to God is not ever our own righteousness. Our basis for ever talking to God is the fact that we come to God through Jesus Christ. And we come on the basis of not that we are not sinners, but we come to God and our prayers are heard because in spite of being sinners, our sin is placed on Christ and is forgiven, and our prayers are heard because we are seen in Jesus Christ, because of our union with Christ, because of His righteousness, we are heard. And so the prayer that is heard is the humble prayer. And humility, in this case, as Jesus goes on to say in verse 14, actually exalts. Once again, we see this pattern in the Scripture. That the proud, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so praying humbly actually brings dignity to us. It actually dignifies us, doesn't it? God has created you in His image. And part of that image, and maybe we could argue that the loftiest aspect of our being created in the image of God, is that we are given the ability to relate to God and to approach God and to speak to Him. And that what sets us apart as humans is communion with God. I've been reading B.M. Palmer's book on prayer. And one of the arguments that he makes of why it's important for us to pray is that our greatest human dignity is found in prayer. That you can't truly be dignified as a human apart from prayer. Because prayer is when we approach God to speak to God. And it's the highest opportunity that we have for communication. And we understand this implicitly. Unbelievers understand this, that who you communicate with dignifies you. And how do we know that everyone understands this? Because if you came in here today and said to us, "Guess who I talked to this week? I talked to Queen Elizabeth. I talked to the president. I talked to a Supreme Court justice. I talked to some teeny bopper, some music star who was willing to sit down and talk to me." And that's one of the things that we share with one another that we think it exalts us, and it does in a sense. I am friends with fill in the blank. Well, what greater dignity is there for us, brothers and sisters, than to be able to say, "I have spoken to God today. I've spoken to God this week, and He hears me and delights to hear me." And so the greatest dignity for you and for me is not by pushing down the other humans and, if you will, proving that we're the best pig in the pen. Our greatest dignity is by being able to approach God and speak to Him and to be heard. And we do that not by exalting ourselves, but by acknowledging our neediness and our humility and our sin to God, and then being heard. Who gets to really communicate with God? It's the person who's willing to acknowledge their sin, to own their sin before God. God calls you in your prayer not to exalt yourself, not to pretend that you're someone you aren't, not to pretend that God is the one being given the privilege. God is so great that you can hear my prayer. But God is honored and answers the prayer of the person who acknowledges their unworthiness to approach God. And as we do that, God hears and answers our prayers. As verse 14 says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Your prayers are acceptable to God when you acknowledge your own personal unacceptability before him. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we want you to teach us to pray. And we thank you that Christ has communicated to us how it is that we ought to pray. And we acknowledge to you, Lord, that we do not deserve this great gift of prayer, but that you have given this to us by your grace and mercy to fallen sinners who don't deserve to have your ear, who don't deserve to have a relationship with you at all. So teach us to pray. Cause us to call upon you. We pray, Lord, that we would not hide things from you, but that we would approach you in spirit and in truth, through the blood of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.